Well, good morning. It's really great to be here. It's great to be back here. I've been here a few times because my grandparents used to come to this church. The late Gilbert and Connie Kirby, for any of you that were around then. They're great people. It's also great to be here because I live in Northwood. And so instead of driving to Newcastle or something today to preach, I'm like a mile away. So that's fantastic. I don't know about you, though, but I find it annoying, unintelligent, crass and unhelpful when people use sermons and ministry to advertise organisations. It's just irritating, isn't it? So we thought we'd talk about EA now, and then later we'd just talk about Jesus. But, you know, the Evangelical Alliance was started in 1846 with two aims: to unite the church in the UK in a mission to reaching this land, and to give the church a clear and effective voice into every layer of society. 173 years on, I'm not sure there's been a more important decade ahead of us for the church to stand together than the one we're facing now. You know, it's interesting too, I'm always asked, what's an evangelical? That's quite easy. We believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. Stop changing the Bible to fit your culture and start changing your culture with the truth in the word of God. Secondly, we believe the death and resurrection of Jesus is the most important thing in human history. Thirdly, we believe in the need for conversion. So many of my friends seem to think people come to faith by osmosis. You don't. You get on your knees and you meet your Savior. And finally, we believe in being active in the world, making the world more like the kingdom. That's why evangelicals in this country led the abolition of the slave trade, provided education before anyone else, and in the last 20 years have come up with and delivered Christians Against Poverty, food banks, street pastors. And the Evangelical Alliance is the oldest and largest organisation that represents the 2 million evangelicals in this country within this society. We're a member organisation. We're made up of 4,000 churches like this one, 700 organisations, and tens of thousands of individuals who stand together to say, let's be united in mission and let's transform society to be more like the kingdom. And it's the individual membership that's become more important because there's a growing scepticism in our culture towards institutions. And so we're often asked, how many people do you actually stand with? How many people do you represent? And people say, well, what difference does it make being part of it? Well, a lot of what we do we can't talk about till it's done. But some of it, once it's done, we can give examples. So 2.5 years ago, the government said they wanted to Ofsted all youth work in Sunday schools. Do you remember that? Public regulation of private religion. When did we move to North Korea? And so we led the church's response to that, and at least for now, that has been kicked into touch. Why? Because we were able to speak with a loud enough voice, because we represent enough people. And whoever the new prime minister is in a week's time, we look forward to saying to them, it's really important that you listen to the voices of faith, and that faith has a part in this society. And that's why this morning, I've got a little table out the back. That is dream time for me. I wish I could have been Del Boy when I grew up. It turns out I'd do this job instead. But on that table, there's some of these forms, and I just ask you this morning to consider, would you consider being a personal member of the EA, giving your voice to the EA as we speak into society, but uniting with thousands of other Christians to try and change this nation? Do you know it costs less than a cup of coffee a month to be a member of the EA? £3 a month, that's outrageous, isn't it? There's a bit you can tick, you can join as a couple or as an individual. If you're married, just join as a couple, tell your spouse later. Whether you join EA or not, I've got a couple of resources on the back table that might really help you. First is this, speak up. This is the antidote to the newspaper you might read. The newspaper you might read might say you can't wear a cross to work. It's not true. You can't wear one the size of your torso, that's a health and safety issue. The newspaper you read might say you can't pray at work. It's not true. You can't take advantage of power relationships in the workplace. And we'd had enough of Christians getting their view on how they can share their faith from the media, not from the law. Why would you take it from the media? The media often don't know the difference between an evangelist and an evangelical. We've got to get our understanding from the law. So we got together, the Lawyers Christian Fellowship, did a 16-page document. What are your gospel freedoms to share the gospel in this country? Here's the thing. Do you know you've got more freedom to share your faith in this country than just about any country on earth? But use your freedoms or your children and your children's children will lose their freedoms. We launched this in the House of Commons. I did a 7-minute talk. I just preached the gospel. Afterwards, a then member of the cabinet said to me, I've not heard the gospel preached in the House for a long time. I said, invite me back. I'll do it again. He said, why? I said, says I can in here. Friends, we need to know what our freedoms are to share our faith. Do take one of those. Secondly, I joined EA from Youth for Christ. I went around the country getting people excited about telling people about Jesus, but didn't give them any kind of tools or help to help them. So we at the EA have produced a one-stop evangelism hub called greatcommission.co.uk, seeking to put everything in one place. Because with the EA, we're not one organization. We're a collection of ministries. Let's put it in one place to serve the church. So every Monday, we release a video of someone who's come to faith in the UK. Why? You want to change culture? Tell a different story. God is moving incredibly in this land. Secondly, there's a multi-authored blog on there. Everything from how to take ownership of your street through to, and I'm sure this doesn't apply, Chris, if you're a church leader, how to have some hobbies so you actually have some non-Christian friends, through to all kinds of other things. Then there's a prayer section, because we overestimate our activities and underestimate our prayers. You want to reach Northwood Hills, start an all-night prayer meeting. It's the best way you can reach people, is to start praying for people. Finally, there's an act section, over 210 resources. You want to reach young people, there's 48 different things. You want to reach Muslims, there's 9. You want to reach old people, there's 7. It's the only website in the world. Search for small group material. Boom! Alpha's next to Christianity Explored. Why? Because we're EA, we're broader than one. And the final thing we're doing on there, as the draw to a close, is we're trying to catalyze the gaps. Where's the church got a chance for mission and we're not making the most of it? Biggest thing we're working on, toddler groups. Well over half the toddler groups in the UK happen in churches. I don't know anyone that's had a toddler where that toddler hasn't gone to a toddler group. So at that stage of life, we have the ability to reach at least half of a demographic very easily. We surveyed 300 church groups. What kind of songs do you sing at your toddler group? It comes back that it's the wheels on the bus, not the wise man building his house on the rock. What kind of stories do you tell? It comes back, it's bear hunts, not the feeding of the 5,000. We said, why? They said, we don't offend people. I don't understand. If I go to Sports Direct and they talk to me about trainers, I'm not offended. If people come to church, we can talk about Jesus. So we're helping to produce some evangelistic material for toddler groups. Two aims, get to the toddler with Jesus. Second aim, get to the carer. The biblical literacy is about the same, but it's not patronizing through a two-year-old. Friends, we're excited about what's going on in this land, but we need to stand together. Finally, if you do sign up to EA today, I'll give you 3 presents. Why? Because I like you. Why else? I'll do anything to help unite the church to reach the lost in this nation. First is this, game changers. My wife Anne and I wrote this. How does Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush give him the confidence to take on his landscape for the Lord? How could we see cultural transformation for Jesus? Love to give you that. Secondly, unity for a purpose. 7 sessions for group or individual study. How can we be united? The world might know hope. Hope is a name. His name is Jesus. And finally, and this will swing the deal, if nothing has before, an EA keyring. Bear with me. This bottom bit is a fake detachable pound with our logo on, right? When you go to Pinner Tesco's, in fact, you don't need them there. When you go to Watford Tesco's and you want your trolley, you will thank the Lord for the EA. When you want your locker, you will thank the Lord. All I ask is every time you use this fake pound to work a locker, work a trolley, pray for 3 things. Pray the church in this nation will be united. Pray that the church in this nation would be heard on every level of society. And pray that we might work together to make Jesus known. God bless you and thanks for listening.
I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from his sins, from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
It's so good to be with you. And I think we sometimes mix up what Christmas is all about, don't we? And when you get the wrong end of the stick, you end up confused. I had an encounter like this quite recently. I went to Waitrose in Northwood. I don't normally go there. I work for a charity, so it's beyond my budget. But I went there because we were going to someone special's house for dinner. Now, these special folks, I needed to take them something special, so I had to get a bottle of wine from Waitrose. And I went to the offers section. I mean, let's be honest, I still work for a charity. And I picked out something nice on a good offer. And I went to the till to buy it. And I was trying to buy it on an American Express credit card that has my correct salutation of Reverend, not Mr. on it. And the guy turns to me and he says, I'm really sorry, sir, have you got any identification? I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm 40. I'm buying a nice bottle of red wine on an American Express credit card, and I'm a vicar type. It's hardly underage drinking behavior. Anyway, it was the next afternoon when I was sat in my house, and my daughter Amelie, who's 13, unprovoked, just turned to me and said, "Daddy, it must be really scary being as old as you, because you could just die at any time." I think both situations, the wrong end of the stick was grasped. And the problem when it comes to Christmas is we so often misunderstand what it's about. We think it's about all the stuff going on around us. You know, the average Westerner eats 7,000 calories on Christmas Day. That's a 19.5-mile run to burn that off. And at Christmas, you know who the hardest person to buy for is, apparently? Dad. Dad's the hardest to buy for. That's why he always ends up with socks. And I love Christmas. I really do. I love it because I love talking about Jesus. If Christians can't talk about Jesus at Christmas, you've really got a problem. Because his name is in the word. And I just love so much about it, but Christmas cards irritate me. I find them irritating because they make the nativity look cute. Have you ever noticed there's like fluorescent figures? Mary is dressed like a blue nun. It's probably not the most practical outfit for giving birth. The ox and the ass are smiling. You know, clearly none of them poo. The hay smells like Chanel No. 5. And the crib is fresh from IKEA. You know, it all looks so perfect. Also, there were three wise men. I mean, that's the biggest miracle of Christmas. Try finding three wise men in a lifetime, but here they all are in the same place at the same time. And I'll never forget when my son got his part in the nativity a few years ago, and he came home and he was so upset because he had to tell me he'd been cast as the ass. The whole nativity scene creates a picture of Christmas that just wasn't quite true. It was more like a courtyard. It wasn't perfect. It was difficult. And for many of us, we can miss Christmas. We can miss what was really happening. You know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, both deeply religious folk, missed Christmas, even though it was 5 miles away. You can be religious and not know the truth. And many of us are looking for God in the wrong place. Do you know Jerusalem's only 9 miles from Bethlehem? The Magi, the wise men, they only missed getting to Jesus on the right time. They only missed it by 9 miles. You know, I love the story of the Magi because I think it's such a challenge to us. These wise men are following a star, but the minute they stop following the way of God and they follow what they think makes sense, the minute they use their brains instead of their hearts, they end up at a palace because you go to a palace looking for a king. But if they'd kept their focus on where the Lord was leading them, they'd have got to the stable first. And you know, what I love about the birth of Jesus is it's just covered in the whole of the Bible. The word Bible means library. There are 322 references in the Old Testament to the coming Messiah. How, where, what, how he'd die, the number of coins for betraying him. Isn't that amazing? Jesus comes and he fulfills the whole of this Old Testament. You know, and King Herod missed him too. Because Herod was a king, but Christ was the King of Kings. And there's this whole thing going on in life at the moment where we're encouraged at Christmas time to chase after all the stuff we want. I found it so brilliant this year that I can't really think of anything I want for Christmas. Because I actually don't need anything. Tell you what I want for Christmas. I want my neighbours to become Christians. Now, if I get a pair of socks at the same time, that's fine. But my guilty pleasure in television watching, we all have guilty pleasures, don't we? Mine is The Apprentice. I love watching The Apprentice. It's like they find the most incompetent bunch of want-to-be business people. And then they say stupid things. And what I love about it is seeing the sort of craziness of it all. But the reality is they're in a rat race. And if you're in a rat race, you're still a rat. It's not what we should be putting our investment in. We should be thinking about what Christmas really means. The invisible God becomes visible in Jesus. But sometimes we leave him as a baby. You know, to really understand Christmas, you have to go from the cradle to the cross. You have to understand what Jesus does in our place. You know, the gospel message of Jesus is amazing. If you're not a Christian, you may never have heard it. If you're a Christian, you may have heard it 1,000 times. But I ask the Lord every day to make his message fresh to me, that I might be infectious for him in meeting others. But the message of the gospel is amazing. because of our brokenness and all the stuff we've done wrong. Jesus, who is God, comes from highest heaven to lowest earth. You know, that blows me away at Christmas time. The God who made the world, who threw the stars into space, becomes a baby for you and me. Isn't that outrageous? It's outrageous. And not just any baby, the lowest form of baby, baby boy. Let's be honest, women are the superior gender, aren't they? If you don't agree with me, you're single, right? But God so humbly becomes a baby boy. Now, babies can't do anything, can they? Gee, that's not true. They can't do anything you want them to do. And the king of the world becomes a baby. That gets me every year amazingly. But this baby grows into a man who starts his ministry in the Jordan Valley. The Jordan Valley is the physically lowest place on earth. Jesus literally goes from highest heaven to lowest earth. He goes from the highest to the lowest that he might get the lowest and take him to the highest. But he gives food to the hungry, health to the sick, life to the dead. Then he dies upon a cross, taking every wrong thing upon himself you've ever done, ever would do, ever could do, ever might do, that you could be liberated from your brokenness and know life in all its fullness now, as well as life in all its fullness forever. I sometimes think Christians are too obsessed with what happens when we die. But actually, I don't know how I get through this week without Jesus. It's about life in all its fullness now as well as forever. And they put him in a grave, and it was Joseph Arimathea's grave. He was small. Jesus was taller, so they've dug out a quick bit by the feet to fit Jesus' body in. I don't know why they did that. Let's be honest. Home improvements should be a solid financial decision made for the long term, not for the 3 nights that Jesus was in that tomb. 3 days later, they go to the grave. The grave is empty because Jesus, my Jesus, your Jesus, defeats death and rose again. For 2,000 years, every cynic in the world has looked for the body. There is no body because Jesus is alive. And he offers hope and he offers life and he offers liberation from our brokenness and he offers the opportunity for joy for every one of us in this moment. That's the message of Christmas. It starts in a cradle and it ends on a cross. You see, the gift of Christmas is Christ. If you remove Christ from Christmas, all you got left is M&S, and that's not the best. And you know, when I received this gift, it totally changed my life. It's amazing to hear these stories. It's great to see you without the elf ears. I've seen you about 2 or 3 years in a row with the light switch on. Great to see you without that hat. I thought it was permanent. But when you receive this gift of Christ, it changes your life. I'm amazed at what God's done in my life. It was funny when one of my old school teachers found me on Facebook. I became a Christian just before leaving school. And she found me on Facebook and her message was this. You're married. Wow. You've got children you're aware of. Hooray. And you're not in prison. What happened? And I got to just tell her, Jesus has changed my life. Or an ex-girlfriend of mine, I grew up as the child of Christian leaders. And so my prayer often was to be able to do anything I could to annoy my dad. And so I decided the most annoying thing I could do when I was 16 was go out with the daughter of the local imam. So I did. And she found me recently and had seen a video of me preaching at Spring Harvest on YouTube. And she says to me, what's happened to you? I said, Jesus. And she goes, but I don't understand. How did you become that? And I said, Jesus changed my life. You should check him out. She's going to do an alpha course. Friends, God is powerful. This message of Christ changes us. The gift of Christmas is Christ. We receive stuff we don't need, whilst God offers us a gift we can't live without. You know, this word Emmanuel means God is with us. It's not a prayer, it's a statement. It's so ultimate and exclusive. God has got to us through Jesus. Jesus is the way. He's not an option, he's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Jesus is Jewish, and Jewish names were given to children with the hope of the name they were given being what they would become. So Zacchaeus, do you know what the name Zacchaeus means? It means good boy. So his parents either had hopes for him he struggled to fulfill, or were sarcastic Brits. You can choose. My name, Gavin, means white hawk, so fortunately it's not a Jewish-given name. But the name Jesus means saviour. That's what Jesus does. Jesus saves. And the thing about life is, life may be really pants sometimes. This is what Christians aren't good enough at saying. Christianity is not a fairy tale. It's not live happily ever after. Life is still hard, but Jesus is real. And everything else in this world will fail you other than Jesus. You know, my grandma, not the one who came here, my grandma on the other side, had Alzheimer's disease. When you lose your mind as much as you can. For the last 8 years of her life, she sat in the corner of a nursing home dribbling on a teddy bear. She couldn't speak. She didn't recognize her dad, her only child, or any of us grandchildren. She'd been a Christian for 60 years. Where is Jesus when you've lost your mind? You can't speak. The drugs don't work. The friends have gone. Your mind has gone. And you don't recognize anyone. My mum went in to see my grandma on her birthday once. Now, my mum was sat in my grandma's bedroom. And my mum turned to my grandma and said, "Can I pray with you?" Now, as I said, my grandma couldn't speak. So being the good evangelical Christian that my mum is, she took the silence as the yes she wanted to hear. My mum began to pray for this dear old lady that she might know peace in the midst of the mental torture she lived with. And once my mum had finished praying, she was delighted to see that my grandma's eyes were shut. But then something amazing happened. For the only time in her last 8 years of life, my grandma spoke as she prayed. She said, "I don't know who I am, and I don't know what I am, and I don't know where I am. But Lord Jesus, please love me." You can lose everything in this life, but you don't lose Jesus. He is the ultimate gift, and he gives life. Matthew ends as he starts. He starts his gospel here with, "He'll be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. He ends it in Matthew 28 saying, "I will be with you always till the very end of the age." The greatest promise in the Bible is not that you'll be healthy. It's not that you'll be wealthy. It's not everything will be perfect. It's not everything will be wonderful. It's that God will be with you. That's the bit I don't get. I don't get how people cope in this life without Jesus. I have many moments where leading the Evangelical Alliance, you'll be in environments where you are the crazy one and everyone else is normal. But I'll tell you something, you go in that room and you know that Jesus goes with you. That changes everything. That is the gift of Christmas. I guess my question to you is, this Christmas, are you focused on Jesus? Is your focus on Jesus? You can have known him a long time and never really understood what he requires of us. He wants our love, but he wants us to tell others about him too. One of the things we do at the Evangelical Alliance is release videos of some people who are sharing their faith in different ways. And there was this one lad, Ben, he was in year 9 at school, it means about 14. And he was sharing his faith at school. You know, if you can do that, you can share your faith anywhere. And this lad was doing it, and he was doing it boldly. And his grandma knew he was a Christian, but didn't really know quite how on fire he was. She went to church one Sunday night, and they said at the front, it was all on sharing your faith, this church on Sunday night. They said, "We're just going to play a video from the Evangelical Alliance about sharing your faith." It's her grandson. She cries a river as her grandson tells the church about sharing his faith at school. But a few seats down from her is her friend Reg. Reg is 92. He's never shared his faith before. And he stands up at the end, he says, "I want to be like Ben. Can you pray for me? I've never shared my faith. I want to share my faith." Now the amazing thing of the church is, God doesn't have grandchildren, right? So it doesn't matter whether the youngest is teaching the oldest or the oldest is teaching the youngest. We're just family. And you have this incredible moment where they all gather around Reg and they just pray for anointing on this 92-year-old man. His lifelong best friend, Tommy, never knew till that time that Reg was a Christian. Reg starts sharing his faith with Tommy. 3 weeks later, Tommy's in church too. 6 months later, Reg is holding the towel as Tommy gets baptized. Friends, the gift of Christmas is Christ, but it's not a gift for us to keep to ourselves. It's a gift that we accept, but then it's a gift that we share. I don't know what is going on in your life, whether it's wonderful, whether it's difficult. But this Christmas time, I'm so encouraged by the words of that old hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will seem strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The wise men ended up at a palace when they stopped focusing on the way of the Lord. Let's not end up with the wrong priorities this Christmas time. For those of us that have never known Jesus, you know what? You can surrender your life to Jesus. He will remove all your brokenness from you, and he will journey with you into the kind of life that is really living. But for some of us, we've known Jesus for a long time. And actually, this Christmas time, it doesn't matter how you cook the turkey. It matters how you're doing with the King. And then let's not keep this gift to ourselves. Let's share it with others too. Let's pray, shall we? I wonder if we all just keep our eyes shut for a moment. Because when God made me, he made me as someone to invite people to join the family. And I'm not prepared to preach on Christmas without giving an opportunity. If anyone here does not know the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, you've never chosen to surrender your life to Jesus. You've heard the testimonies today, and that's never quite been your story. But you've been around this stuff, and maybe this morning is the opportunity for you to say, do you know what, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to give my life to Jesus. But equally, I think there's a few of us where, if we're honest, we've not doubted the truth of this message. We're just not living it. When I worked with young people, we did recommitments all the time. You've drifted. You've gone cold. You've stopped praying. You're not reading your Bible. Maybe it's time to come back to Jesus. For some reason, with adults, we don't do that. And I just wonder, maybe for some of us too, maybe it's a first-time decision to follow Jesus, but maybe some of us, we've gone cold. And towards the start of this Advent season, it's a moment to say, do you know what, Lord? I dust myself down. I recommit my life to you. I want to start again with you, because I've not been living how I want to live for you. Now, people's eyes are shut. No one's looking at you. But if either of those are you, would you just put your hand up? If you want to surrender your life to Jesus for the first time, always a recommitment. Just put up nice and high so I can see that. That's fantastic. And can we just keep those up if it's a first time? I just want to know if there's anyone here who's making a first time decision to follow Jesus. Fantastic. Now, all I'm going to ask is those six or seven hands, including the one for the first time, I'm just going to ask you desperately. I'm going to pray for you now, but please, please, please do me one last favor. Be bold enough at the end to go to the prayer ministry area, because someone wants to celebrate with you, but we also want to mark this moment for you. And actually, sometimes with a recommitment, that's even more important, because there's a level of accountability next Sunday. But Lord Jesus, I just want to pray for each of my brothers and sisters for whom today has been an important day of decision. I want to pray, Lord, that decisions made in this church building would feel as real tomorrow morning as they do now. I want to ask, Lord, that your angels would protect each of my brothers and sisters who've made a decision for you today. I want to pray, Lord, they would know that in you there's great joy at this moment, there's not condemnation. And I want to ask, Lord, that this Christmas they would share your gift with others too. I pray over this church too, Lord. I pray this church would be a dangerous church, a church that shares you with those around them. Lord, as a citizen of this area, I pray this area would be transformed by the witness of the people in this place. I ask, Lord, this church would have all kinds of logistical issues because more people want to come. And I pray, Lord, that we would be released in the power of your Spirit to be your witnesses in this area. Amen. And then finally, you've been given these cards today. When it comes to choosing to follow Jesus, there's always three options. There's a big yes, we've had some of them. There's a little yes, we've had some of them. And there's a healthy maybe. The healthy maybe is, I'm not quite sure yet, but I want to look a bit more. Anyone who's a healthy maybe, crack on and sign up for Alpha. The Alpha course is an amazing way of hearing more about the Lord. It's also an amazing way of having some free food, making some good friends. I can't encourage you enough. Don't go into 2020 without asking the real questions of life. Because hope really does have a name. And like me and my friend have both said, his name's Jesus. Take the opportunity you can to discover him for yourself. Let me be the first person to say from this platform too, it's early, but happy Christmas.